Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Fabulosity is his specialty, and that would be Mr. Rob Zenner on the other side of the glass. Much appreciated, our producer. He's why the podcast will be posted shortly after our interview is complete. Lord willing, and the computer keeps clicking. You just never know. On the news line with us now, movie Mike McGranahan, professional film critic, author, and women in cinema advocate. He's got a review today and some mini reviews. So first of all, Mike, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning.
Much appreciated. Always good to get this. All right, this is a highlight of my Friday. We'll start out the review of Marlowe.
Liam Neeson has spent the last few years making a series of lame Taken knockoffs, so it's nice to see him do something else for a change. In Marlowe, he plays Philip Marlowe, the famous detective created by Raymond Chandler. Humphrey Bogart, Robert Mitchum, and Elliot Gould have all played the character on screen, so he's got some big shoes to fill, or should I say, a big fedora. In the film, the gumshoe is hired by femme fatale Diane Kruger to find her missing lover, who everyone thinks was fatally hit by a car outside a fancy country club. She doesn't believe that. Following the clues puts Marlowe in contact with the club's shady manager, a gangster, and his employer's movie star mother, played by Jessica Lange. Marlowe wants to capture the mood and feel of the great noir films of the 1940s. It looks amazing, and the performances are terrific across the board. Neeson and Lange in particular are fun to watch together. The plot is muddled and confusing, though, and even worse, the pace is weirdly lethargic. A good mystery keeps you on the edge of your seat. This one keeps you struggling to pay attention because everything moves so slowly. Marlowe has its strong points, but it pales in comparison to the classic movies it's trying to emulate. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 2.5 Maltese Falcons.
All right, so 2.5, but maybe worth seeing just to catch these great performances?
This is one of those movies where I am right on the fence about whether I would recommend it or not, because the performances are really good. There's some smart dialogue in it, the way the characters talk to each other. There's some very good individual scenes. But at the same time, this movie just doesn't have any juice to it. It's so plodding. And when you go back and look at the classic noirs, like The Big Sleep or The Maltese Falcon, they move. They suck you right up. And this movie feels like it's just a couple of beats behind. So it's the kind of thing I would probably say when it comes on streaming, take a look at it for the performances. But if you're looking to spend some money to go to the theater this weekend, you might want to put that money towards a slightly better film.
Well, you have to tell me that when you were watching Liam Neeson, you were thinking, oh, no, he's going to start bonking people and fighting and kicking soon, right?
Yeah. I mean, he has made so many of those Taken-style action movies over the last few years. And every February for the last 3 or 4 years, there's been one that's come out. This year we get something different, thank goodness. I'm glad to see him getting out of that zone for a while. I just wish this movie was a little bit better than it is.
Well, and it's nice to see Jessica Lange again. Tell us about that. She's a super performer. We don't hear all that much from her.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't work every day, but she is certainly a screen legend. So many great films, an Oscar winner, and certainly an actress I always enjoy seeing on screen. And she has lost none of her charisma. Every time she comes on screen in Marlowe, this movie just lights up. She is so good in it.
Fantastic. Okay, well, might be worth just seeing that. It's at theaters now. I would extrapolate that because you say wait till streaming perhaps might be one way to go for this particular film. So this one's in theaters right now, right?
Yes.
Okay, a mini review, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Didn't I already see this one?
You did. This movie came out in 2000, and it's being re-released this week to theaters nationwide. I saw it during its original run back in 2000, and then I saw it again yesterday for this new re-release. And I have to say, it's no surprise, this movie completely holds up. It was nominated for 10 Oscars back in the day. It won 4 of them. It's a great martial arts film. It's a great love story. It's a great movie about people. And watching it again yesterday, I was just as enchanted with it as I was 23 years ago. And I think that this is a movie that will still be entertaining people in 23 more years. So 4 stars for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. If you haven't seen it in a while, now's your chance to go and see it up on the big screen.
All right, so that's the key. I was going to ask why a re-release. The key is that you get to see it on an even bigger screen than you might have at home.
Right. What happened was that Sony Pictures Classics held a special screening of this movie at the Telluride Film Festival last year as part of their 30th anniversary celebration, and it went over like gangbusters. And then this year, the movie star, Michelle Yeoh, is nominated for an Oscar for her work in Everything Everywhere All at Once, and so there's a renewed interest in her work. And they thought, you know what, let's put this movie back out in theaters and give people a chance to see it up on the big screen again, and that is definitely the way to go.
Sure, and with electronics and so on, it's not that expensive to put a film back out, I would assume.
Right, and this is a 4K remaster of the film, so it will look better than ever.
All right, fantastic. At the box office, how is the Titanic 25th anniversary doing?
It did really well. It came in, I believe it was number three for the weekend, and for a movie that is that many years old and that everybody owns, for it to end up in the box office top five is pretty impressive. What impressed me even more was that it was neck and neck with Avatar: The Way of Water. So there were two 3-hour-long 3D movies directed by James Cameron in the top five at the same time.
Oh.
That's pretty impressive.
Right. He's what I refer to as a glonkzillionaire by now. But,
yes,
of course, just keeps doing slow, methodical, fantastic work. So that's awesome. Okay, so you say there's going to be a live-action remake of How to Train Your Dragon. Now, tell me about that.
Yes, the How to Train Your Dragon movies have been incredibly popular animated films, and DreamWorks is apparently taking a page from Disney's playbook. You know, Disney makes all the live-action remakes of their classic animated films. So now they're going to do a live-action of How to Train Your Dragon, but of course the irony here is that dragons aren't real, so this movie is going to be very heavily CGI. So it seems to me like it's kind of a cheat to call it a live-action film. But I wish people would make something new. The original How to Train Your Dragon is great. It's one of the best animated movies of our times, and I don't think they're going to be able to improve on it by going live-action.
Now, be 100% clear, when we're talking live-action, we're talking actors, real actors acting out in scenes. I mean, it's pre-recorded and edited and so on, but they're real actors doing this film.
Correct. It'll be live actors, and then the dragons, I'm sure, will be CGI.
I got you.
So it'll, you know, be kind of a mixture there.
Okay.
But there's nothing to add to that. There's nothing that's going to, you know, maybe I'll be wrong. I hope I am. But it seems like there's nothing there that will be able to top what they already did with the original.
And How to Train Your Dragon, how successful was that? I know you certainly are a fan of it.
Mm-hmm. It was a massive success. It spun off two sequels that did very well, an incredibly popular Netflix series for kids. So it's a very, very big franchise, and the original in particular is an especially good film.
All right, fantastic. So, yeah, worth trying. We'll see how that goes. And where will that pop up?
That is scheduled for theaters.
Okay, fantastic. All right, remind me what the movie Plane was all about.
Plane, right. I reviewed that about 2 or 3 weeks ago. That was a movie with Gerard Butler as a pilot whose plane crashes in a third world country where there are rebels and they have to fight for safety. So I reviewed that a couple weeks ago.
All right.
You remember that one now?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I do remember you talking about it. It's on my streaming list.
I liked it, but it's not the most memorable film. 6 months from now, I probably won't remember it. But it has only made $30 million at the box office so far, but apparently that's enough for a sequel. And get ready for this. The original is called Plane. The sequel will be called Ship.
Okay. Probably taken over by pirates, we'll assume, but who knows? That's the equivalent of ocean-faring violent drug dealers. Okay. Yeah, sad news. Raquel Welch died this week. I was surprised to hear that she'd been in 40 films.
She had a very long career, and, you know, she kind of, her acting work got overshadowed by the whole sex symbol bombshell kind of quality, but she died this week at the age of 82. She was a former beauty queen, appeared with Elvis Presley in the musical Roustabout, did TV roles in Bewitched and McHale's Navy, starred in a lot of terrific films, 1 Million Years B.C. probably being the most iconic of them, but also Fantastic Voyage in 1966. And, of course, a poster of her played a very prominent role in 1994's The Shawshank Redemption. Anybody who's seen that movie knows what I'm talking about. So a definite screen legend, Raquel Welch, unfortunately, has left us at the age of 82.
All right. Yeah, tough loss there. Movie Mike, thank you so much for your reviews and your information. All very much appreciated. And we'll look for more at ILC.com. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseat.com. You can follow him on Twitter, as I do, at aisleseat. And his sponsor, when he talks on WKOK on Friday morning, is the Campus Theater. You can find out all the new and original films that are showing there, campustheater.org.